Welcome to How to Trade It, the road to trading mastery. Join Casey Stubbs, a seasoned trader, as he guides you to become a profitable trader. Find actionable insights, real life stories, and strategies to boost your trading skills. Don't miss the journey to trading victory. Start listening now. Connect with us at podcast@tradingstrategyguides.com. Trading profits are just an episode away.
This is the How to Trade It podcast. We talk about the real stories behind successful traders. You will learn the strategies that the best traders use in today's markets. And we get those experts to show us how to trade it. All right. Well, hey, everyone. I'm here with Chris Capri, the CEO and head trader from Second Skies Trading. Thanks for being on the show today, Chris.
Thanks, Casey. Good to see you again.
Well, I've been following you for a long time and many years, and we've actually never spoken before. And this was the first time right before the show. And I am really excited about the show because just in the pre-conversation, we had a really great time. And I think we're just going to kind of continue the conversation we've already had. And so let's go ahead and get started. Chris, can you give everybody a little bit of background about yourself?
Sure.
How you got started in trading and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. So 20 years ago in 2000, I had the least likely transitional career from what I was doing into trading. So I was a yoga teacher. I had graduated at the university with a degree in philosophy and neuroscience. And I had moved to California and I was teaching yoga. And I'd realized very quickly that I wasn't going to kind of achieve the financial goals that I wanted to through yoga. And so I started kind of investing in stocks and mutual funds. And, you know, after a little bit of time in doing that, you know, I started to feel like, okay, I want to take this a little bit further, but I don't know how, and I don't know what the next direction is. And at that time, Forex trading was pretty new. It started retail in late 98. And in 2000, there was maybe six websites on Forex trading, which just kind of shows you where we've gone from to where we are now. And one day I was working with a private client. He had cancer and I was giving him private yoga lessons to him and his family. And he comes up to me one day in his house and he just walks up to me and he has this book in his hands. He's like, hey, you know, I was reading this book and I had this kind of strange feeling that you should read this book. And I was like, oh, okay, it's interesting. And he said, yeah, he's like, I don't know why. When I was reading it, I kept thinking of you and I feel like you should do this. And he handed me this book and it was about Forex trading. And it was about a story of somebody that was an athlete in college, had graduated college and wasn't going to go pro. And he kind of got this strange offer to do FX trading and trading in Japan for a very kind of strange, unique character in Japan. And he ended up really kind of building his skills over the years and making one of the largest trades in history that actually moved the global markets about 2% globally. And so the book is called Ugly Americans. It's by Ben Mezrich, the guy who did the Facebook story and things like that. He's done a lot of those things. He did that poker movie. I forget what it was called. But anyways, I read the book in 3 days and I was like, okay, let's try this out. And so back then, you know, because there wasn't many websites, you had to go to like your local Borders to find magazines like trading stocks and commodities magazines and things like that. And I was reading them and I saw this advertisement for a free demo account in Forex. And so it was with GFT, which has been gone for years now, Global Forex Trading. And I opened up the demo account and the moment I turned it on and just started looking at the screen, my eyes just kind of lit up. And keep in mind, I had no training in Forex, but when I started to look at like all the terminology and everything like that, I was like, huh, I understand this. Like I was able to translate the language very quickly without even taking a class in FX trading. And, you know, I just really caught on and really just kind of connected with it instantaneously. It's like I lit up on the inside like a Christmas tree. Traded demo for a month and then took $3,000 out of my savings, put it into an account, and was trading live within 30 days. And through a combination of ignorance, too much leverage, and not really knowing anything about the markets, I was able to take that $3,000 and turn it into $83,000 in 6 months. My very first trade was a dollar Swiss trade. And back then, that was when dollar Swiss actually moved. And to show you like how I didn't know what I was doing, I put a standard lot trade on a $3,000 account. So if it had gone the wrong direction, my account could have just gotten crushed like in one trade. But luckily that first trade went 124 pips in my favor, which is about $1,200 roughly back then. And so my account went from 3,000 to 4,200, you know, overnight. I literally made the trade in the lunch in the afternoon, and by the next morning I woke up and I was already in profit. And it just kind of kicked off this very kind of fearless winning streak that just kept going and going and going for months and months and months. And then next thing you know, I look at my account, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm at $83,000. How did that happen? And so, you know, I had an insane win rate, like 71% back then. And I was feeling confident to the point of overconfident. And that's where the first downfall and first kind of knock from the market came, which is that next day, feeling very confident, I started to do like the numbers in my head. I'm like, okay, well, I did 3,000, 83,000 in 6 months. So in another 6 months, this account should be like, you know, half a million or something like that, maybe close to a million. I like, you know, just stupid kind of how I was projecting into the future, you know, oh, this, it's like some sort of certainty and kind of daydreaming about it. So being flush with cash as a yoga teacher, and I had no debt back then, I was literally walking down Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco by the dealerships. That's where all the like expensive car dealerships are, like Bentley, Jaguar, Ferrari. And I was literally sitting in front of the Lamborghini dealership, like looking at the car, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get you in like a month. I'm just going to buy you like cash in like 1 to 2 months. You know, I was looking at the sticker price. It was like 220 or something like that. And, you know, picking out the color and everything in my head. That night I go to trade and I opened up a pretty large 10 standard lot position on Euro dollar, and it just tanked on me. And I literally lost about $15,000 in minutes. I lost $25,000 by the end of the day. So I lost like almost one third of my account in, you know, hours. And by the end of the month, I was down 50K. And so it created now this different experience for me because I had just gone on this 6 month winning streak, and it kind of really shook me up and rattled my confidence. And I just couldn't find a winning trade if it hit me over the head. There was just nothing I could do to find a winning trade. I was at that point where I was like, maybe I should just pick a trade and then do the exact opposite of what I plan on doing, because that's how like off I was. And I didn't know why at that time things had changed so drastically, and I hadn't really thought about trading psychology or anything like that. And so I was actually depressed, you know, after just losing so much money so fast. And I had friends coming to my house and they looked at me and they're like, dude, you don't look good. You look bad. And they're like, you should go for a walk. So I go for a walk, and it was like kind of like a rainy gray day. And I'm just like, oh, this is like typical of my life. And I was in such a bad state that a homeless person walked by me and asked me, and they're like, hey dude, are you okay? And I'm thinking, wow, he's homeless. I have a home. I have money in account. And he's asking me if I'm okay. I must be doing really bad. And so I just kept walking. I went to this like botanical garden, and I saw this person in the rain doing Tai Chi. And they weren't just doing like, you know, the traditional stuff that you would see, like if you go into Hong Kong near the docks and you see them practicing Tai Chi with a bunch of people. Like, this was a very advanced level high chi. And this person was like totally in the zone, and it's raining out and it's cold, and yet they have like total focus on what they're doing. And I just kind of looked at that person for a little bit, and I was just kind of captivated, and just kind of woke something up to me. And like, look, you know, life is going to present storms. Life is not going to be pretty. It's going to be rough. It's going to be challenging. You need to be grace inside these storms, inside these challenges, inside these obstacles. And so I kind of like picked myself up mentally from that, you know, just from watching that experience. And then I kind of started to, okay, well, I need training. I have no idea really what I'm doing. Clearly, I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I did, but clearly I didn't. And so I started to look around for courses, and FXCM had a course that they were teaching, like intro to Forex trading, you know, learn the essentials of Forex trading. I took the course and I started to improve, you know, and I was learning things that I should have been learning from day one. And so I was making less of the mistakes I was making before. And I felt like I had more confidence because now I had legitimate training, or at least some training. Before, I had no training in it. So I was doing better. And then I started to submit my trade reports to FXCM and the instructors there at that time. And then all of a sudden I'm looking, you know, for like, you know, in some sort of magazine or something like that. And I see a job opening for a broker. And I was like, huh, okay. And it was the job applications in San Francisco. I applied. I got an interview, and I didn't have a business degree in college. I had no experience in the finance industry. And I thought, yeah, I don't have any of this, but let's just go anyways. Let's just do it. And I felt like I had a great interview. And but then I was like, well, I don't have any experience. And all these other guys had experience. I'm just a yoga teacher. You know, like, what do I know? And the next day I get a call and they're like, we want to hire you. We're going to fly you out to New York. We're going to get you an apartment. We'll cover all your expenses. And we're going to give you salary on top of it. And we're going to train you and you're going to become a broker. And I literally was just like, done. And then I moved out to New York. And that started kind of my Forex brokerage training and experience.
Hello, this is Casey, and I wanted to take a minute to tell you about my new book that just came out. It's called Complete Trading System. This is my 25 years of trading experience, sharing everything that I have learned in how to make a profit from the markets. You're going to learn about how to find the right instruments to trade, how to find a trend, how to get started as beginners. You're going to learn about how to get the right mindset, and you're going to be able to put it all together to create a trading system of your own that will work for you. I highly recommend that you try it out. Just click the link right now. It's called Complete Trading System. It's available on Amazon. Thank you. Go ahead and check it out. I think you're going to love it.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I did not know that about you, that you were a broker. So it was a Forex broker?
Yes. FXCM.
FXCM. Yep. Okay. Wow. Cool. I'm very curious. Tell me what it was like working for FXCM.
Intense. It was very intense. So, you know, the New York office was on a 32 Old Slip, which if you know, downtown Lower Manhattan, Old Slip intersects with Wall Street. I was living in Hoboken at that time, which is just across the river in New Jersey. So I literally woke up, took the PATH train under the river every single day, 23-minute commute to my office. And, you know, it was a lot of hours every single day. And back then, FX trading was just kind of starting to really wake up to the markets, and people had never really done it before. So it was this totally new thing. And so the retail industry was just kind of, you know, blowing up basically at that time. But there were very long hours. The training was very intense. I remember third or fourth week into the training, I was like, I had like 101 fever, and I still came into work and still did, you know, work 12-hour days and things like that. And, you know, so back then all the trainees would start on the New York session, but in New York at that office there, they ran all three sessions. They had a New York desk, they had a European desk or an Asian desk, and they had a European desk. So it's 24-hour activity going on in that office. And the first NFP, I had to work that. And back then, NFP was a legit market mover. Like, it could move 100 pips in the first tick, which nowadays, you know, how many times does the euro dollar move 100 pips in the first tick after NFP? It just doesn't happen. So NFP was a big thing. People didn't really know how to react to it. And we had to have like all hands on deck. And so literally, I had worked a 12-hour shift, went to the bar, got some dinner and drinks. Then literally in a room next to all the offices that we had a room that was just beds in the New York office. And the brokers would just take a nap for a few hours after coming home from the bar. We'd sleep for about 3-4 hours. And then we'd be there at, you know, 4:35 o'clock to get ready for NFP. And so it was a very intense experience, but it was like being in a pressure cooker, you know? And so because of that intense pressure, you know, if you're able to withstand it, you grow really fast and you cook really fast. And so that was, you know, I was learning with some amazing people back then. And then eventually they said, hey, we're going to send you back to San Francisco because we're building the office there. And I was very lucky to not only have a good team there of like former futures traders. We had a 30-year bond trader. We had a couple great macro traders. We just had like every type of good trader out there. So the team was very trading focused. They were all good traders. Like one of them, the guy's name was Duke, funny guy. His dad was a professional futures trader. He was a professional futures trader and wanted to work for the brokerage and be trading. And so it was just around a really good group of people who really all they did was lived and breathe trading. And I was very lucky because my boss there, CJ Daniel, who now is like number three at FXCM, he's still there right now. He was probably the best boss I'd ever had. He was intense as could be, but he was also amazing. And we're still friends to the day. We still talk. We see each other. We're in the same area. And working for him and working for that team was just such a growth experience because you're around markets all day. You're around good traders all day. You're getting to interact with like the dealing desk and then the research desk and then the prop team. You know, we used to have a prop team back at FXCM back then, which was led by Kathy Lean and Boris, if you know Kathy and Boris Schlossberg. So, you know, we had classes all the time. It was just this giant soup that you're in all day, every day. And I worked as much as I possibly could. I just was like a sponge. I literally worked at every shift I could. I took overtime. I would often work the weekends because we used to have chat services on the weekends. So I would work with the chat and work with some of the senior staff. And I just felt like, man, this is such a good opportunity. I'm going to learn everything I possibly can while I was here. So that was an amazing experience and just story after story after story there.
Did you guys actually trade? Were the brokers actually trading accounts there?
If you were on the prop team, you could trade directly with FXCM. If you weren't on the prop team and legally weren't allowed to, we had to trade with a different broker, which was an issue for me because I was a GFT. And so, and at that time, FXCM's platform, the TS2, wasn't that great. GFT, I thought, was a better platform back in the day, but now TS2 is a great platform. So I traded with GFT. It wasn't a big deal. I could trade as long as I wasn't like screwing up my work and just looking at the charts all day, you know. So I was making trades there all the time. And because I had access to all this great research and then all these studies and statistics on strategies and things like that, it was just, you know, it was a great environment for me to trade from.
Very cool. So did you go directly from there to start your Second Skies trading?
No, I got a job offer at a hedge fund. So in the 2 years that I was there, I'd done everything. I was like a broker. I was on the gold client team, which means that we worked with like the VIP clients. I was on the audit team. If there was ever like a trade discrepancy, we had a team that was just, they would go into the server logs, look at like every single tick, see the bid and ask, see if they got filled or they didn't get filled and, you know, correct it if we made a mistake and then let them know, hey, look, these prices never hit. There was part of the audit team. I did a lot of stuff with them. And because of that, I was constantly going to conferences. You know, FX conferences were big back then. And because it was so new, you could go to a conference in Vegas or wherever, and there'd just be thousands of people there all like, hey, what is this? What do we, you know, what's going on here with FX? And over the years, you know, the 2 years that I was there, I'd probably gone to, I don't know, 6 or 7 conferences. And I kept running into this hedge fund that was there. And, you know, I would talk to them and they would talk to me and they thought my strategies were interesting. And we kind of, you know, exchange notes and things like that. And then towards the second year, the end of the second year, I was kind of getting tired of working for a corporation. I loved FXCM. The staff there are great. The people there are great. The CEO is great. But I also felt like as long as I stay in a corporation, I will be limited in terms of my upside opportunity and I'll be limited in terms of my thinking. And so there was an opportunity to trade for a hedge fund that I had been courting with. It's called the JNF hedge fund at that time. They were an FX only hedge fund. And, you know, when I had left FXCM, I said, look, you know, I'm done with them. I'd be interested in trading for you guys. And so I interviewed and it was kind of like the same thing. The next day they hired me. They had to look at all my trade records for like the last year and a half. They examined like every single trade I had done. They like scrutinized the heck out of it. They're like, what did you do on this trade? And why did you lose $25,000 on this one? And what happened here? And they went through everything, like all my trading over the last year and a half. But after it was all done, they're like, we want to hire you. So normally hedge funds, when you get hired by them, you have to go through their training program. And then you kind of, they see what you're like and they see that you're learning the models they want. And you have to kind of apprentice with them. And then eventually you get a capital account with them and you start trading with them. But because I had already had the experience, I was the first trader they'd ever hired that didn't have to go through their trading program. And so literally like the moment I signed, the next day I was signing contracts to like take over this account and this capital and this is what I was going to trade. And so that was, you know, that was it. I was literally trading like 48 hours later their capital.
If you don't learn from history, you're going to make the same mistakes over and over again. It would be a shame to let history repeat itself when you could have avoided it altogether. Each week, the Finance and Markets newsletter features a financial history lesson to help you grow. Go to the link in this episode's description to subscribe. Your path has been really unique, I would say, into the world of trading. Most people are not going to do that. So what would you say would be a great way for regular people to kind of get their feet wet with trading nowadays?
I think the most important thing you can do is you have to find somebody to train with and you have to find a community. Like if you want to be a mixed martial artist in the UFC, you don't go and be like, okay, I'm going to teach myself karate. I'm going to teach myself Muay Thai. Like, it doesn't happen like that. If you want to become a professional pianist, you don't sit there and be like, hey, I'm just going to get a keyboard and learn some classes online and read some books. Like, nobody has that path. Every path to a professional level requires some sort of mentorship and training. There has to be feedback from somebody outside of you, because if you don't, how do you know if you're going outside of your own thinking if the only person you're ever taking feedback from is you? So you have to, you know, just think of like every great athlete out there. Do they all have coaches? Yes. Ronaldo, LeBron, Brady, all these people. They all have, Michael Jordan, they all have coaches that give them feedback. And so my suggestion is, like, the most important thing, the first thing you can do is learn the language, learn kind of the just the basic knowledge of what's going on in the market that you want to trade. And then find somebody you resonate with, that you like the way they teach, you like their communication style, and you like they have a model for trading and a model for teaching. If they have a model for training, but they don't have a model for teaching, then there's no framework that they're going to move you through that's based on, you know, a certain principle and function that, okay, I do this training because if you do this, it leads to this. You know, teachers need to have that. Like, if you go into university, they have a framework that they're teaching you from. And the same has to be for trading as well. So you have to find somebody you resonate with, somebody you like the way they communicate, you like what they're teaching, like the trading material they're teaching. And you have to connect with them, because if you don't, it doesn't matter how good they are. If you don't resonate with your teacher, that relationship will not work out. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I am a Buddhist for 20 years. I've had a teacher for 20 years, and I've only had two teachers in my entire 20 years of doing yoga and Buddhist meditation practice. And I had one yoga teacher for a year. And then after that, I've had the current teacher I've had for the last 19, 20 years. Right. So I'm someone who is in that teacher-student relationship myself, as the student and they are the teacher. And so I have a direct experience of what that's like. And so I think it helps me to be kind of both ends of that equation.
I think everybody should have that. I think everyone's learning, right? No matter what, or you should always be learning. And so if you're mentoring other people, you should still be also mentored, because you're always growing. There's always a next level to go to.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, that's, you know, from my experience, if somebody doesn't have a teacher that they're working with, then really they've only wrapped themselves in their own ideas. And it's very hard to get thinking outside of your own thinking if you're just relating to your own thinking, if that makes sense. So it's important, because nobody is an island unto themselves. Nobody has perfect self-awareness. There's always, like, if you have friends who are in relationships and they're like struggling in their relationships, you've always noticed it's easier for you to give feedback to them because it's not personally affecting you. It's, right, you know, they're having challenges, and because you're dispassionate about it and it's not affecting you, you're just able to look at it kind of in a very clear, dispassionate way. Like, oh, okay, yeah, I see what's going on, and I can see where you're struggling with this. Yeah. And hey, maybe check out this and this and this. And so there's a reason why that is. And it's because when you're not personally affected by it, it's easy to see things a little more clearly. And so for people, like, I know there's some trading psychologists out there and some trading mentors, they have no mentor themselves. And to me, that's a very dangerous situation, because if a student questions them or really challenges them, they're not deferring to somebody and be like, hey, you know, this student's challenging me. Did I make a mistake here? Did I do this? No, they're just thinking themselves. And when people are just left to themselves, they're more likely going to defend themselves and protect themselves than they will, hey, teacher, what did you think? Did I kind of mess up on this? I was thinking this, but maybe I made a mistake on this. Like, I think the trading education world would be much better if every trainer had a teacher.
Well, I think it's really cool when my mentor kind of calls me on something.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's a great experience for me, because initially, and you can tell me if you've ever experienced anything like this, but initially I'm like, dude, you're crazy. You know, like that's my first thought.
Happens
right?
All the time.
Yeah. But then, you know, after, you know, I try to be a little bit open-minded and think about the thought that they, and it's almost like they plant a seed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, initially there's this pushback, but then after I think about it, and I analyze it, I'm like, oh man, he was actually right.
Yes.
And then you come back and you're like, oh, well, you know, you were right. I'm going to make this adjustment. And so here's a little nugget from me, and that is to remain teachable. I'm always trying to remain teachable at all times.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast.
I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
That is such a, you know, it's a, I'm glad you mentioned it. It's such an important quality for every trainer and educator to have, is because if a trainer doesn't have that, then that means they have a closed mindset and you are less likely to have your mentees or students succeed if you are of a closed mindset and you're passing that on to your students. The research is very clear that people who have open mindsets as leaders, as teachers, tend to grow their students faster and better, because there's no way that you as a teacher are going to be perfect. I've made millions of mistakes as a teacher and training my students. And if you have a closed mindset and you're, you know, that typical reaction, you said like, oh, you're crazy, I don't buy that. Like, because you had an open mindset though, you were able to sit with it for a second, and instead of like defending your ego there for the moment, you're like, okay, well, let's give this an honest appraisement, you know? And then eventually you, as you open that up, you unlock, you know, some sort of wisdom there that, oh, this is actually something I was missing. This is a blind spot, and we all have them. And so I think it's such a good thing that you mentioned there, that we all learn to be teachable and that we all learn to consider ourselves always growing and always learning. Because as soon as you get to the place where you feel like there's, you're past that, then you've solidified, and there's no growth if you solidify, if you kind of crystallize into a certain ego about your mindset about yourself. You know, Tom Brady, like probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time, he still practices and trains and gets feedback from multiple coaches. You know, there was a great video in his Tom versus Time series that was on Facebook. It was like a 7 or 8 part series where he's getting feedback. The guy knows how to throw a football. He clearly knows how to throw a football. He's already run like 4 or 5 championships at that point. And yet he's working with like an elite throwing quarterback coach who's just refining his like mechanism, his throwing mechanism, like just a couple inches. But that 1% difference can like mean a huge difference in terms of how you throw the ball. And this guy's like now 37, 38, 39, and he's still getting coaching on how to throw football. If he's the best at what he does, then what kind of training do we need?
Right.
You know? And so I think people underestimate that. And I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. And so I am not a member of your training, but I am on your email list. And so one of the things that I appreciate from it is that you have your students featured in some of your emails. You're like, hey, my student did this and my student did that. And I really like that. I think that's a great community feature that you're doing, because you're building people up and you're accelerating them that way.
Yeah. And, you know, I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed with your students, but I've noticed that people as a whole in trading tend to be harder on themselves, and they tend to let their big wins, they either over like emphasize their big wins and then they think they're the best thing in the world, or they just kind of like don't really give much attention to them. But then the biggest, their losses are like way more amplified in their experience. And that's neurological. You know, we are all wired as humans. We have 500% more neural real estate. We have more neural cells dedicated towards noticing the negative than we do the positive. That was understandable. That was a survival mechanism. Something that's negative could threaten our life. Something that's positive isn't threatening our life, so we don't need to react as quickly or as intensely to that. That was good for survival, but now we're not in that situation. You know, 100 years ago, the rate of people dying to physical threats is like a fraction of that today. And so we're not as under as much physical threat or life-threatening experiences. And so our nervous systems are still wired though for threat, for towards the negative. So if you were to ask all your students to take a survey and be like, okay, tell me about your biggest losses and how many times you've thought about them and like how often do you still think about them? And then you go like, okay, tell me about your biggest wins. And the list in losses is going to be far bigger than the list in wins. And that's just a representation of how we're wired as human beings. And so we have to, as teachers and as students, we have to make sure we emphasize or pay attention to the positive things that we do just as much as the negative. Otherwise, that wiring will always be in balance. If you think about the negative things 5 times for every 1 time you think about the positive thing, that relationship will stay the same in our brains. And so you have to start normalizing that so you have a more balanced view. Otherwise, it's an imbalanced view of the negative versus the positive. So that's part of the reason why we do it. And we just want our community to feel proud about their accomplishments. You know, trading is not easy, and feel like, oh, wow, I did something great. You know, I'm glad I did this, or I've really worked hard at this, and here's the reward from that. To get featured and promoted like that, I think it's been great for the community.
Yeah, I think positive reinforcement coming from your mentor is a really good thing, right? So when you feature someone in an email or video or however you do it, I really like that. So keep doing that. And I want to definitely recommend for people to check out what you're doing. I think it's really good. Normally, I keep it right on 30 minutes, but is it okay if we stay a little bit long? I got a couple other questions for you.
All good in the head. We can go as long as you want.
Okay. So before the show, we were talking about your transition from, well, you still trade Forex, but you're transitioning into moving into more on the stock trading side. Can you share a little bit about some of the thought processes that went into that?
Yeah. So in 2015, I had really, my trading was kind of going to another level. And, you know, I have this framework that once you have not only gotten stability and consistency in your account, but you're now able to start increasing it vertically, which means you're increasing position size. So the first step for traders as a whole that they have to get past is that stage of consistency. You have to have consistency in your mind and in your mental execution. If you don't, you won't have consistency in your trading. Once you have that, then, you know, your next goal is profitability. And then once you have that, then you got to start moving up vertically, which means you have to start increasing your position size. Otherwise, your income is just going to be frozen at that particular level. Once you start increasing your position size, then at that point, you've learned that you can deal with scale. You've learned that you can increase the size of your account. You can make more money for the same amount of effort. Now it's time to start multiplying that edge across multiple asset classes. So for me, that journey really began in 2015, and that's when I really started to expand into a lot of different asset classes. Stocks, options, commodities, global indices. I mean, I was trading like Russian stocks, Taiwanese stocks. I was trading everything across the board. And then, you know, over the years, I've just noticed that Forex volatility has continued to compress and compress and get lower and lower and lower. And I don't know how long that's going to go. Volatility can only be compressed so long, and eventually there has to be a release of volatility. But as long as there is volatility compression and smaller pip ranges on the day, there's less opportunities for me to make money. So what I started doing was looking for other asset classes to really kind of move into as in more bread and butter. And when I moved back from, you know, living overseas in Argentina and Mexico and Montreal, Canada, when I moved back to the US, I'd gone from East Coast time zone to West Coast time zone. And so I had to kind of give up day trading for a little bit, and it would really hurt my income. You know, I was living overseas, so I was getting a currency advantage because I was being paid in US dollars, but living in Canada, Canadian dollars 20, 30% weaker. So I had a currency advantage there. And then on top of it, lifestyle is much cheaper in Canada than it is in California. So I had all these economic advantages in my favor. When I moved back to the US and California, fifth largest economy in the world, most expensive state to live in, all my income advantages went away. And then on top of it, I lost my day trading income. So my income like dropped like 50% within the first year, which is not easy for people to do. Most people can't lose 50% of their income and survive. And so I was just like, you know, I can't keep doing this. Like, I need to find another way to augment this trading income. And so, or this loss of trading income. So I started looking at stocks and I started looking at options. And I realized that with stocks, things that I thought were disadvantages from FX trading, like FX trading got 24-hour trading, stocks you don't, 9:30 to 4 California, or New York time. You do have aftermarket and you have pre-market, but that's only, you know, 4 a.m., you know, a couple hours before my time, and then you have till 8 p.m. But the bottom line is that you don't have as much time. You don't have the 24-hour market in stocks. So I kind of shied away from that because of that. Also the leverage. Also, you know, gaps in stocks. I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm not used to gaps as an FX trader. But then I said, no, let's just sit with this. And so I just kind of sat with it. And I would just watch the price action every single day across multiple stocks, across multiple monitors. And I was just taking time to absorb it. And as I was just looking at all the charts, I started to realize, I'm like, oh, there's a pattern there. Oh, that's a pattern there. And I was like, oh, and I just started to build these mental representations. And eventually that started leading to me spotting opportunities where I saw initial obstacles. Those obstacles became opportunities. So the gap, which I used to fear as an FX trader, I'm like, wait a minute, I can turn this to my advantage. And then I was like, oh yeah, and there's volume. That's important because that's flow data. You know, in FX, you don't get flow data. You have four types of information you can trade from. You have technical, you have fundamental, you have sentiment, you have flow-based. Four types of information, that's all you can ever trade from. And the bottom line is, it doesn't matter where you want to be along that spectrum. Eventually, that information has to be converted into order flow. And the most proximate driver of price action is order flow. And so when I started looking at stocks, I was like, oh, I have a real advantage here. I'm getting insight into order flow through volume. And then I started seeing time and sales, and I was like, oh, that's another advantage into flow data. So instead of being just a great technical trader, now I had flow data to go with my technical skills. And once I started to marry them together, stock trading just started to take off for me because I had a new tool that I hadn't had for 15 years. So that, and then stocks, you know, in the US, you have 30,000 stocks, and screeners for stocks are better than they are for FX. That's kind of the thing that the FX market could do better with is, you know, FX screeners, but the stock market screeners are, you know, very well advanced and developed. And so, yeah, there's 30,000 stocks, but the screeners can just filter it all the way you want to. And click of a button, it goes through all the stocks. It's like, here, here's 20 that are moving the way you want to do. Check them out. And as I just started to play with it, I was like, wow, I'm way more active in stocks than I was in FX. You know, if I was living in Europe and trading the European Open and it was several years ago and volatility wasn't compressed, I'd have plenty of trades in FX. But I don't live in Europe and I can't trade the European Open and volatility is compressed, and yet volatility in stocks is there. So, you know, feedback loop is very important. The more feedback you get and the more you're able to take that in, the faster you can turn that into skills and information and traits and mental representations. And so just the sheer quantity of information that I was absorbing allowed me to grow faster at stocks than I did in FX. And so now literally 80% of all my trades on a daily basis are stocks, and the remaining 20% is FX. And a good portion of that is day trading, you know, but then I also do weekly and monthly options, you know, and then I have some medium and long-term positions I'm building in stocks. So it's very hard for me to go a day and not make a new trade, like multiple trades a day. It is very hard. Like I can make 3, 5, 10 trades in a day, easy. And those are, you know, swing trades. We're not talking scalping in stocks like a lot of stock traders do. We're talking actually like intraday swing trades going for $1, $2, $3, $4 moves. So overall, it's been working really well for me, and I'm very grateful for it. If FX ever starts to wake up like it did when the coronavirus first hit, I'll be back on that in a heartbeat. Volatility is opportunities. And so where volatility is, I'm going to move.
Right. So what has that change meant for your education and for your community? Have you transitioned in that area as well?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's definitely been an adjustment because my community have been very Forex-centric for a long time. So, you know, I first started just kind of teasing videos and like stocks and things like that. And then I just started kind of showing them what I was doing. And then eventually, you know, once there was enough interest, I was like, okay, let's start expanding on this. And so because I had gone through the transition of having the experiences of like, oh, gaps are tough to trade as an FX trader, I knew some of the obstacles that they were going to face along the way. So I literally built the training in such a way as to be like, look, not only are here the skills, but here are the obstacles you're going to face along the way. And here's how you can transition through that smoothly. And so we still teach FX. Our overall goal is to teach skills that can be applicable to any market. Because if you're teaching, like, for example, football, good, you know, defense, good offense is ubiquitous to all football, whether it's high school, college, or pro, you have to play those good skills. You need to have good footwork. You need to have good speed. You need to have good coverage on defense. You need to read defenses. If you're on offense, you need to design plays. Core skills work at every level along the way. And so our goal is to teach more skills. Strategies come and go, but skills never die. The same skills that are important in football today were important 50 years ago. So our approach is, look, yes, we are shifting more towards a stock basis than FX basis, but really the root and core of what we do is skill-based so that they can trade any market they want. If they want to trade commodities, they can do that. If they want to trade stocks, they can do that. If they want to trade FX, they can do that. If they want to trade indices or bonds, they can do that. So that's kind of our main core focus, but we are, you know, really adapting more towards stocks, and eventually we're going to start moving into options training as well.
Okay, well, that's good. I agree. Foundational stuff is really critical, and it can carry across many different markets. So yes. I personally am on your list, and I'm also on your YouTube, Second Skies Trading YouTube. I really like your content. So I want to just give you a little promo. For everybody that's listening, you guys need to go to Chris's YouTube channel. watch his videos. He gives out great training. He shows some setups. He shows the why, like what he's thinking behind the trades. A lot of really good training. Same with the website and the blog. Always top notch. I've been following you for a long time, so I want to recommend everybody go there. Just give everybody a little heads up of how to find all that stuff and what you're doing now and what you would recommend they check out.
Yeah, the first thing I recommend checking out is our YouTube channel, which you can look under Second Skies Trading, and our website, secondskiesforex.com. Most of our focus really is on the YouTube channel though these days, because coming from a neuroscience background, it's very important for me that I learn to develop focus. And I've noticed that with Twitter and Facebook, my attention was getting divided. And so I just realized, I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm scattering my attention by looking at all these social media channels. So we've started to cut that down, and really 95% of all the information we dispense is either on our website or it's on YouTube. And since I've gotten rid of all those social media channels like Instagram and all that, I feel like for some people, I think they work great and I think they should use it. Like if it works great for you, you should use it. But for me, the most important thing is that I develop the skill of focused attention. And by getting rid of social media, I've been able to do that better. So YouTube and my website, you're going to find everything that we have out there. And that's where we're most active.
Okay. And that's secondskiesforex.com on the web. And
correct.
On YouTube, it's Second Skies Trading.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Well, sorry for the confusion there. we're managing this transition as well. So we're trying to figure out a skillful way to translate that over.
The links will be available for you guys that are listening live. You heard it. Just go there. But for the recorded version on the podcast, you guys will see all that in the show notes. You guys can go click the link and get access to it. And I highly recommend that you get on to Chris's mailing list. There's an opt-in page on the website to get on the mailing list.
Yeah. For homepage, you can see it. You can literally you don't even have to scroll down. There should be some sign up for our newsletter, and that'll get a free ebook, which will be great because it gives, you know, traders an introduction to kind of how we approach price action. That's our core technical model for trading is price action. And they can see, hey, this is how we approach price action. And, you know, this is the kind of the basis foundation and primer for that. And so that's the best way to kind of expose somebody to the roots of where we start from all this price action trading.
Well, thanks for all these years putting out some great content, and thank you for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's good talking with you as well.
All right. Well, that's it for today's episode. Make sure you guys go and check out everything that we talked about. Visit Chris on Second Skies Trading. All right. Well, that's it. Until the next episode of How to Trade It podcast, we'll see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to the How to Trade It podcast. Our mission is to help you create security in the markets. If you have a question you want me to ask my guests or a specific question you have for me, please email me at podcasttradingstrategyguides.com. I answer every email I get because this show is about helping you learn how to trade it. So again, please reach me at podcast@tradingstrategyguides.com. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another insightful episode of How to Trade It with Casey Stubbs. We hope you found today's discussion valuable and inspiring. Remember, the road to trading mastery is a continuous one, and your commitment to learning and growing as a trader is the key to your success. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, please reach out to us at podcast@tradingstrategyguides.com. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep trading your way to victory. Until next time.